name of Jesus.
Amen.
How often do you have chance encounters with people you don't expect to see? Maybe you run into an old acquaintance while you're in the mall, or perhaps passing by the right place at the right time, and lo and behold, some famous person is right there before you. The chance encounter gets even more unexpected when you're traveling far away from home, and lo and behold, you run into somebody, maybe a neighbor or even a close friend. In today's gospel account, we hear of an encounter that was anything but chance. No sooner had the angel Gabriel concluded his startling announcement to Mary that she would conceive and bear a son than she was off to the hill country of Judah to visit her kinswoman Elizabeth. Mary was on a mission, seeking confirmation of the angel's announcement, no doubt, that her kinswoman was also pregnant, and perhaps also in search of some counsel and guidance from Elizabeth, and also her husband, Zechariah, a priest. Though little did Mary realize how unhelpful that tongue-tied Zechariah would be. We call this festival today celebrated the Visitation, ostensibly the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. But a closer reading of the text would suggest that this visitation, this encounter, the one of more significance on this day, was not between these adults named in our story, but of the two babies, as yet not born. Though this would be their first encounter, it would not be the last. And in many ways, it sets the stage for that great encounter some 30 years hence, there at the Jordan River, as Jesus began his ministry. Already in the text today, we find little clues that point to the decisive statement that John would make there as he was pointing to Christ when he said that he, the Christ, must increase, even as he, John, would decrease. Note the details in the text today that point to this reality even before either of those men were born. At the very sound of Mary's voice, John dances a little jig in his mother's womb. It's left to Elizabeth, who's filled with the Spirit, Luke tells us, to provide the interpretation. This young woman standing before her is not a mere kinswoman, Elizabeth exclaims, but she is the mother of my Lord. And so, among all the women on earth, she is blessed. Think of that. For the prior 6 months, Elizabeth must have felt as though that title belonged to her, the blessed one among women. There she was, advanced in years, barren, and now with child. She was the new Sarah. But upon hearing this greeting of Mary, Elizabeth knows that she can only decrease, so that Mary, or more precisely, the fruit of her womb, might increase. But there's more. Elizabeth not only acknowledges who the true visitor is on that day, but also speaks a clear truth regarding Mary herself, the vessel by whom our Lord was brought into this world. Blessed is she, Elizabeth exclaims, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her from the Lord. This is, I suppose, one of those comparisons from the lesser to the greater. After all, as hard as it was to believe the angel's message to Zechariah that Elizabeth would conceive, such news was still more unbelievable than the word that Mary received. Mary's message from the angel, that she would have the Holy Spirit come upon her, the power of the Most High overshadowing her, that conceived in her womb would be called holy, the Son of God. Blessed indeed is the one who could believe that message. And without question, that's what Mary confirms in the words that then pour forth from her lips there in the sight of her kinswoman. The words that we just sang a moment ago. One can only imagine the thoughts that flashed through her mind as Mary made that journey through the hill country of Judea. The confusion, the fear, the doubts, and the wonderment of it all. But as she breaks forth in song, what becomes evident is the earnestness of her faith, a faith that fully recognizes God's mighty hand at work to bring about the salvation of his people. True to the form of Hebrew poetry, Mary begins with a mighty exclamation. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. It's reminiscent of so many psalms, such as Psalm 34. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Or as we've sung this past week as we bask in the joy of Jesus' ascension from Psalm 99, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. Holy is he. But Mary doesn't stay there, endlessly magnifying and exalting and rejoicing in God. Instead, she moves on to the cause for this rejoicing, introduced by the most insignificant of words, for, or in Hebrew, ki. I will magnify the Lord, Mary says, for this reason, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. He who is mighty has done great things for me. His mercy is on those who fear him. He's shown strength with his arm. All of our rejoicing and praising God is worthless unless it is founded on God's mighty deeds, the one who casts down the mighty and who lifts up the lowly. Why will Mary be called blessed? Because she believed the word and promises of God. And so it is for you who believe his promises today. It won't do you any good to contemplate whether you would have replied to the angel Gabriel's message with the simple faith that Mary expressed. That's not your calling in life. Your calling is found in the day in and day out situations in which God places you, whether you be a mother, father, son, daughter, professor, student, boss, worker. It's in those situations where God continually calls you to faithfulness, which means putting away the bitterness, jealousy, hatred, and deceit that daily attempt to gain a foothold in your life as you jockey for positions of power and prestige. Instead, God invites you to be clothed in the meekness of Christ, who himself entered this world in lowliness so that you might be lifted up, who himself endured the pangs of hell so that you might be spared eternal torment, who himself broke the bonds of death so that you might live eternally. It is this Jesus whose visitation goes on. Though now ascended to the Father, he daily visits you with his mercy and grace, comforting you through his word of life and feeding you of the very flesh that resided in the womb of that blessed virgin. For 3 months, Mary and Jesus remained in the home of Elizabeth. Though St. Luke doesn't specifically say it, all evidence suggests that they were still there to witness the birth and to celebrate the birth of John. And when Zechariah's lips were finally loosed, he too let out a mighty confession concerning who it was that was present in his home. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And so does he still visit you today. In the name of Jesus. Amen.